And we think we are the gods of our own life. We are the gods of our family. And we will wipe them out as if we are God and as if we have life and death in our hands. And we do that. You all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ at this hour of our day. It's a great honor for me always to stand here, and I would like to invite you to turn together with me to Psalm 25 once again. I want to continue where I stopped the other day, where my theme was the power to change. And we talk about the life of David here, and as he cried unto the Lord in Psalm 25, and I'm not going through everything again. I trust that you last time read maybe the whole chapter 25, as he over and over call upon God and confess that he put his trust in him and that he have hope in him. As you can remember, we talk about if we need to change the word hope, H-O-P-E, that we are in the third letter, P, for the power to change. So if you got it in Psalm 25, let us just pray together once more. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, Psalm 119, verse 130, say, the opening of your word gives light. And we also need it, Lord. I also want to ask, just like Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32, where he asked, Lord, that his teachings will be like rain. Rain that fall from heaven on the ground, on the newly planted plants and flowers and grass, and that it will not be like a shower, but a soft rain, a soft dew to feed and nourish the plants. It means that it will penetrate deep into the ground and release its, what can I say, the nutrition that is taken up in it, so that the new, freshly plants can absorb that through their roots and grow strong. May your word be like that also in this hour for us. I know that many of us know these truths. Just make it new and alive into our hearts once again. We take it seriously at this hour, O God. Speak to us. Convict us, whatever is necessary. At this hour, Lord, that you will not left us untouched. Please, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read again from verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you are good, O Lord. Just those few verses. I just want to read verse 4 and verse 5 once more together. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. I really trust that the Lord, through His Spirit, will bless this word in our hearts. As I sit and I just read over it once again, my notes, and reflect on what I said last time, where we didn't come far through all of the scripture, but just to that portion where David said that those who hope in you will never be put to shame. They will never be put to shame. And because he asked in verse 2, or say in verse 2, do not let me be put to shame. And we collaborate a little bit there. And I don't want to say everything all over again. And I said many times that if we need to change, there's a lot of disappointment on this road. But God will never disappoint us. And maybe many feel like God has abandoned them. I think of last night's movie today and say, Lord, it looks like that other unbeliever that what was his name, Jordan. It looks like as they pray and trust you for the healing of Amy. It stirs up something inside of him that he also will start thinking there is a God. And because why do the people pray? Although he don't understand everything, because he really don't understand why does people pray and, you know, she don't get better. And it feels like, you know, everybody is disappointed because she came out of the first chemo and it looks like everything is well and swell and the cancer is shrinking. And, you know, if it continues like that, it will be gone in a few months' time and she's clean. And then it serves more aggressively than ever before. And that is what they say many times. Once you open it, that cancer gets so aggressive. In a no time, you can die. That's why many of the people that I know, when once they diagnose them with that, they don't open up. In other words, they don't do the op because they say it will get very aggressive and it will grow fast and don't last long. So many times we come to a crossroad. I want to start here from verse 4 and 5. Knowing that our hope and our trust is in God. Remember the third letter in our acronym HOPE is the letter P. For power to change. You and I have the power. If you think of the H, our higher power is God. It's one thing, and I think it is one thing to believe that there is such a being. We called him God. Others might call him different names, but it is not the same. There's only one God as the Bible teaches us. It's one thing to believe in him. Or to know, not believe, but to know Him, that He exists. But another thing, to believe actually in Him, that He's got the power, He's got the ability to change my life, to change my circumstances. It's another thing to believe that. We can quote many verses. It doesn't mean actually that we really believe it. Did you ever think about that? To put it to practice in your own life. We know there is what the Bible say, you know, and sometimes we even have a doubt to know, is that really the truth? Is the Bible still relevant for today? Like the one uncle say one day to me, there is no more such a thing as a absolute truth. I said, you are mistaken, uncle. I take you to the Bible. This is the ultimate truth. This is it. Absolute. Is there still absolute truth? Yes, it is in the Bible. God is absolute. His word is absolute. You start questioning that. It means something has crept into your heart that is doubting God. And now you want to redefine him for who he is and what is his word. Many times we come to a place like here David come at the crossroad. Verse 4 say this, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my Savior and my hope is in you all day long. I want to stand still there. I don't know about you, But many times in our lives, physically, we came at many crossroads. If you go wherever you want to go and you plan your route, you get many times, especially in towns, there's many crossroads in the town, isn't it? Nearly every, we'll find a robot, here's a crossroad here, at our doorstep. And you can go left or right, or you can head on straight, head on. But spiritually as well, we get crossroads in one's life. And many times, we're standing in the middle of the crossroads. And I want to lay that before us at this hour. Because many of you who listen to me, they're on the radio, they're here in the mission at this service, are at the crossroad. And I want you to see this truth. What David say, I need to change. And maybe we all confirm that. I need to change. I want that change. And I want God to change me. And then when we say that, it means that there is a decision that we have to make. A calculated decision. Where I put the pros and the cons on paper. And say, what will it cost me to change? What will it cost me to change direction? I can remember many years ago, we have a trip to Namibia. It's about 6 cars of us, mostly of our congregation and some other friends outside of the church. And we decide we're going to plan a 2-week trip into Namibia. We're going to do only the southern part of it. Later on, we will do the other part of it. So we go the first half through it in 2 weeks, and then we come back. But as we go in a convoy, we have 2-way radios as well with us. Well, I was riding with the people at the back, way at the back. And the leader is in front, and we're riding in the back, and everybody in the middle. But we also left quite a distance, social distancing, because of the dust. All of those roads are, it's gravel roads. So we leave quite a distance, because some of those walkie-talkies can quite a distance, kilometers, you can still have reception. So, and but we said, if you come to a junction or a fork or a crossroad, wait for the others there. Because sometimes our GPS is way out. I can remember one time the GPS said we must turn around. Ours said turn around. But everybody's going still forth. But ours said you have to turn around. Wrong road. And I said, this thing is the Macarman. So we followed the leader, not the GPS. Because she's lost, look like it. So at one stage, we come to a fork or a T-junction. There's nobody. But the arrangement was, when you come to a fork or a T-junction or a crossroad and we have to turn right or left, wait there so that the others can catch up. Okay. Well, this time they didn't do it. So we don't know where to go. But we can't stay here the whole day. We have to choose, is it left or is it right? We don't know. Well, where are we heading? Well, each one have a plan, sort of. GPS is way out, she don't know. The reason why I say she is because there's a lady that talk. You can choose what voice you want, he or she or Afrikaans or English or whatever. It was a she, nothing. So we decide to take right. As we continue, something don't feel right inside here. I said, I think it is the wrong choice. Because it looks like we're going away from that side. That side looks like more to the... And we turn around. After a few kilometers on that gravel road, we turn around. And we follow that road. And praise God, we do met them. They're waiting for us. You see, spiritually, it's where many of us are in the middle of a crossroad. In the middle of a crossroad, you have more than one choice. You can decide to, must I continue straight on? Must I turn left? Or must I turn right? I've got 3 options here. I know where I come from, so I don't want to go back there. I need to go forward. Is it left? Is it right? Or is it head on? It's difficult if you have come to a T-junction or a fork. I've got only one choice, left or right. And I must make the right decision. Otherwise I might end up, you know, somewhere where I don't want to be, and then I have to turn around, and all the way back, you lose petrol, you lose a lot of energy, you lose a lot of time, and by nightfall you must be in the camp, because I don't want to make the same mistake again. So I don't know where you are, but David was there, because he asked God these things. He said, Lord, show me your ways. Show me. I can't see it. I have scales on my eyes. I need to see it, Lord. I need to saw it. Show me your ways. How desperately are you when you are at that crossroad? Because I know that when you are in that crossroad, in the center of that T-junction or that fork in your life, you have to make a very crucial decision, and you can't afford to make the wrong decision. And you wish you can have someone to ask the way, which way is Walvis Bay or Swakopmund or wherever, because there's no signs on that board. It's just a T-junction or a fork. Show me. But if God have to show him, he admit with his heart, because he say, remember verse 1, I lift up my soul, my whole being, my whole life, because he confessed with his mouth in that same verse that God is my Savior. You have the power, not just that I know that you are there. I know you are there from of old. In other words, in my youth, you read that whole verse, that whole chapter, you will see he refers to his youth. Please do not remember the sins of my youth. In verse 7, I know you from where? From of old, Lord, as a child. Show me. I can't see. Lord, I can't discern on my own. I can't lean, like Proverbs say, on my own understanding. I need you to see. I want to change, Lord. Maybe my family give me an ultimatum, like many times they do, because of our waywardness. Because of that, they have enough. That's why we are here. They have enough. I can't continue anymore. Now I need to know. God has a way to stretch us out. God has a way to sort our lives out. And maybe God's got a way to do it painfully for us. We can do it the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. And we choose the hard way. But I need to know. Do you really need to know God's way to walk in it? Then we need to ask him, show me your way. Show us your way, because we can't discern it. My heart is depraved. Look where I come from. If I look back where I come from, Lord, I know where I come from. I've been there. And there's nothing there. It's only destruction and woundedness and brokenness and perversity and everything vile that you can think of. I'm right here. In this T-junction, in this fork, maybe in this crossroad. Show me. But also he say, teach me your paths. You see, to show me your ways got something also to do with my heart. It will have an influence in my heart, in my mind, in my thought life. It will operate there, because the Spirit of God will take his ways, show it, his precepts, his commandments. Show me what you want me to do, Lord. What is God's will? Teach me your path. I cannot turn without you teaching me. I can't walk. It means that teaching is so that I can walk with you. So many times we think we can walk without you. And we lean on our own knowledge, our own understanding. David said, no, I make too much of a mess. I have to learn something if I want God to teach me. You have to have a teachable spirit, a fat spirit, F-A-T, faithful for the F, available for the A, and teachable for the T. Faithful, available, and teachable if I want God to teach me His ways, His path that He wants me to walk with Him. Who is He? What does He require from me? How can I do it? Teach me it, Lord. Teach me. And then He say as well, guide me in your truth and teach me. So there is the show me so that I can see it. There is the teach me so that I can learn what I saw here. And that guide me to put it to practice in my day by day walking with God. That's why we are here. That He can teach me. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect. And all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is He. What is Moses say there? What is he saying? It's the same as nearly what David asked God. Show me, teach me, guide me. Why? I want to be under your guidance. I want to be under your direction of my life. Not just lip service calling you, you are my Savior, or you are Lord, or you are the King, or whatsoever. No, I want to make it personally. I want to be under your direction, your Lordship under in my life, under your direction. You see, many people want change, but not on God's terms, but on their terms. That's why there's no real change. I can remember one day, I don't have that track, and I think the one that was here, maybe it's still there. Are you know for sure? That little green booklet that I give mostly of for my counselees when I counsel them. So I give this little track to this one guy, and for quite a while I said to him, you have to go through it and read it. I think I did mention it one day. And next time when we're going to sit together in our counseling session, I want to go through that little booklet with him. So next time when it comes for his session, he didn't read it. And I ask him, why not? You have enough time. Don't tell me you don't have time. Everybody has enough time. Everybody does. Even if you have outside, you work from 9 to 5 or from 8 to 5, you have enough time during the day too. Even in the night, you have enough time. You didn't read it. Why not? Don't you take your soul very seriously? Don't you take your life very seriously? Don't you take God seriously? Why are you here? Is it to hang out? Why are you here? Is it to see how long can we stretch this counseling sessions and the time you're going to stay here and so forth? Or are you really here to make business with God? Doesn't matter how long then it will take, but I make business with God and God is going to make business with me. And then there comes a time that they say, okay, you know what? I think it is time for you to go. You're floating. You're just floating. You take up a bed for someone who really want to make business with God. So as I pass the dormitory, I hear his voice inside there. Very nyap, nyap, nyap. And I go into the dormitory and he is busy telling this one guy, he's also not here anymore, that I gave him an ultimatum. And the ultimatum is this: if he do not give his life to Christ, he's going to hell. Wow. I give you an ultimatum as if I can send you to hell? I said, no, you got it wrong. God give you the ultimatum, not me. God said that. I just confirm what he said. If you die without him, you're going to hell. Does it sound judgmental? No, the truth hurts. And the truth will make you cross before it sets you free.